While waiting for my wife to finish antiquing down in Woodbury, Tennessee, I saw this sign hanging in the shop window. It depicted Confucius saying, "I never said half of those things." And I thought about that. I thought that would be a good way to introduce our new series. I'm calling it, "I Never Said That." Things that Jesus never said. I'm sure this is true. Confucius is probably said to have said a lot of things that Confucius really never said. And I bring that to our attention because I think Jesus is sometimes said to have said a lot of things that we have no record of Jesus saying. Well, I went to the internet. I'm no Confucius expert. So I went to the internet to, I thought, what are some things that Confucius has said? Or at least, what are some things that people have said that Confucius has said? And here are some things that I found that I seriously doubt Confucius ever really said. But the first on the internet I found was Confucius say, "Man who run before bus get tired." I doubt Confucius really said that. The next thing was Confucius say, "Man who run behind bus get exhausted." No, I don't think so. Confucius say, "Man who eat crackers in bed wake up feeling crummy." Maybe. Confucius say, "Man who throw dirt loses ground." Confucius say, "Two wrongs not make right, but two rights make you turn." Probably not. Confucius say, "Man with head on railroad track listening for train get splitting headache." Confucius say, "Man who laugh last, no get joke." I actually thought Tonto said that. But Confucius say, "Man who put face in punch bowl get punch in nose." Confucius say, "War not determine who right, war determine who left." Oh. And then my favorite, number 10, Confucius say, "Wise man not keep sledgehammer and slow computer in same room." Well, I'm pretty sure Confucius never said any of those things, but I begin our new series by mentioning those things because over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some things that every once in a while someone says Jesus may have said, and we're pretty sure Jesus never said such a thing. At least he's never recorded in the Bible as saying such a thing. And in fact, many of these things no one is recorded in the Bible as ever saying. The first thing we're going to look at this morning is this saying that sometimes contributed to Jesus, if we could see that on the screen. How many have heard this sometimes, that charity begins at home? Has anyone ever heard that little saying, charity begins at home? Every once in a while, this is actually attributed to Jesus or to somebody else in the Bible, when Jesus never said such a thing, or did anyone else in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite of what this teaches. In our text this morning, Jesus gives his last instructions to his disciples before he leaves this world, and Jesus does not say charity begins at home. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of" who? All nations. Mark records Jesus as saying it this way, "Go into" where? All the world and preach the gospel to whom? All creation. Luke has Jesus saying that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to who? All nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And every once in a while, somebody gets the idea that it's okay to just stay in Jerusalem. As long as you do the best you can to lead your Jerusalem to Jesus Christ, as long as you do the best you can to lead your home, your own family, your own children to Jesus, then you're doing what Jesus asks. And let me stop and say right now how proud I am of many of you who have returned to church and some of you who've started coming to church now that you have a little one in tow. I'm so proud of you. That is such a good decision that you're making to bring your little one to church this way. I don't think, I could be wrong, but in 42 years, 43 years of preaching, however long it's been, I don't think I've ever run into a mom or dad who regretted bringing their child to church. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Now, I run into a lot of moms and dads later in life who regret not bringing their kids to church. I run into a lot of that. They wish they had 18 years later when they asked me to go down to Licking County Jail and visit them. I run into mom and dads that regret letting their kids get away from church. But I'm not sure I've ever run into a mom or dad who said, you know, church really messed my kids up. I wish I'd never introduced them to it. I don't think I've ever heard a mom or dad say such a thing. So good on you, mom, and good on you, dad, for bringing your child to church. I'm very proud of you if you've started doing that, trying to teach your little one about Jesus. We're going to introduce three new little ones to our church here in just a couple of weeks, whose moms and dads have already started bringing these little tiny ones out to church. Man, I'm so proud of you. But don't stop there. If you truly believe that Jesus is good for your kids, then how about other people's kids? Amen? If he's good for your kids, don't you believe he's good for other people's kids? And if he's good for kids, what about adults? I mean, surely none of us here this morning would pray a prayer that says, God bless me and mine, us four, no more. I mean, we would never do that, would we? If Jesus is good for us, why wouldn't Jesus be good for the rest of the world? And Jesus wants to be shared with the rest of the world. Amen? He wants everyone to have a chance of following him. Now, that being said, I understand that we all have to start somewhere. We all have to start somewhere. And Jesus understood that as well. In fact, Jesus told his first followers to stay in Jerusalem, which sounds counter to what we're talking about this morning, but Jesus did say that. He said, stay in the city, Luke 24:49, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. In fact, Acts 1:4 says, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. For, he said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And only then did Jesus say his followers would have what it would take to take Jesus all around the world. That's why Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's why, even though we have to start somewhere, we're not denying that, we have to start somewhere, we don't want to end there. We don't want to stop there. Because all need to hear. And pardon my French, but all means all, y'all. All means all. All nations. Can't be more clear. All creation. Man, that includes everyone, doesn't it? All around the world. That's who Jesus says he wants his message to be told to. That's who he wants to hear. And I don't want to get too technical here, but Jesus actually uses three participles and one verb when he instructs how he wants this done. Jesus doesn't just tell his disciples to do it. He doesn't just tell his disciples who he wants to hear it. He actually tells his disciples how he wants it accomplished. And he says, be going, be baptizing, and be teaching. That's how I want you to make disciples of all the world. And that's the pattern that we follow here. We do this by going. We do this by baptizing. And we do this by teaching. And so when we support the Christian missionary effort all around the world, we're only letting everyone hear about Jesus the very way Jesus instructed us to let them know, by going. When we immerse people into Christ, we're only bringing them into the Christ the very way that Jesus instructed his disciples to bring people into Jesus Christ, by baptizing. And then when we want to mature the saints and try to bring them up in greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it in the very way that Jesus instructed his first disciples, by teaching. Be going, be baptizing, be teaching. That's how you make disciples, Jesus says. And that's why we can't stop with just us personally discovering and us personally knowing for ourselves who Jesus is. Yes, we need to start somewhere. We have to learn somewhere. But we have to pass that learning on down to our own children and to other people's children and to the rest of the extended family and friends of the children and neighbors and to their friends, to everyone in this congregation, to everyone in other congregations, to those without a congregation, to the whole nation. And we can't even stop there, Jesus says. He wants the whole world, all creation, to hear. All nations. And wherever you are in that continuum, we need to move further down the road. No matter how far down the road you are in this process, until the whole world has heard, we need to move a little bit further down the road. We have to start somewhere. Well, we can't stop there. We got to move on further down the road on that continuum. We'll call the place where we start the beginning. Have you ever been in a mall or someplace where there's a map, a directory, and it's got a little insert that says, "You are here," okay? The beginning. We all have to start somewhere. We'll call that the beginning. And for many of you here, in fact, for 75 of you here, in the last 2 years, you started right here. We're so thankful for you. We're going to be thanking the Lord for you in our Thanksgiving service here this morning. But we don't want to stop here, because there's a whole world out there that still needs to hear. There are folks that can be told down at the lookup center, or folks that can be told while delivering a Christmas or Thanksgiving basket, or while out on a short-term mission trip. Folks that can be invited to our Christmas Eve service, always our largest service of the year. Or folks that can be invited to stay afterwards for our Thanksgiving meal this morning, which I can assure you is tastes very well. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know. Amen. Preacher's got to do what a preacher's got to do. Can't be serving bad turkey around here. Now, some of you may be further down this road of providing the opportunity for others to hear than you think you are. I mean, right now you may be thinking, you know, I come here to hear, and maybe I've accepted what has been told here, but you may be further down the road of providing the opportunity for others to hear about Jesus than you think you are. In fact, we're going to be providing you with another opportunity yet this morning. Now, let me explain this to you. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10 said this. He said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Man, what a great promise that is. Amen? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Wow! What a promise. What a promise. But then Paul goes on and asks this question. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say this. And how are they to preach unless they are what? Sent. And at that time, that the Apostle Paul wrote that, churches all around the Mediterranean rim were sending the Apostle Paul all over the world, preaching the gospel, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they could call upon him to be saved. And some of you are doing that, maybe not even knowledgeable that you are. This church currently supports 28 different Christian missionaries all around the world every month from your weekly offerings. Now, some of these missionaries are right around us, right nearby. But some are on the other side of the globe. And all of them are trying to tell people about Jesus. Some are doing it with words and some are doing it by deeds. Truth of the matter is, most of these missions are doing it both ways. And your offering supports each one of them. And it resources them. And on some occasions, it sends them further down the road to tell others about Jesus than they have ever been able to go before. Reminds me of the Starship Enterprise. Going where no man has gone before. You ought to say that when you put the offering in the basket this morning. You may be sending the gospel someplace it has never gone before. Now, we have individuals from this congregation that have gone themselves. Many here have gone on short little mission trips. Others of you have spent years. We have individuals from this church who are still out serving and telling who couldn't do this without your support. They would have to come home. And this morning, we'll be receiving a special Thanksgiving offering. I know we have Thanksgiving offerings every year, but this is a special one this year because this year's Thanksgiving offering is not going for ourselves, but it's going for a congregation 240 miles south of here that is losing their building due to chronic flooding over the last 80 years. The Army Corps of Engineers says they have to vacate their premises, and they've been given 30 days notice to move out. They've got to go. But they've been told they can apply for 30-day extensions if they want to try and build out of the floodplain. And even though they're not a wealthy congregation by far, they have decided their witness is not going out of existence. Even though they're a small congregation, they've bought 3 acres of property just outside of town, just out of the floodplain, upon which they're going to build a simple building on a concrete slab, and we're going to help them. Both with a special Thanksgiving offering that we're going to receive this morning and with some volunteer labor from our own congregation. If you'd like to join us, just jot this down. If you'd like to join us, we plan on going down and doing the first framing on that concrete slab the first full weekend of December, 2 Saturdays away. Pray for good weather. But folks, they've been given a 30-day notice to vacate. Now, they're going to probably receive extensions. They don't have promises of that. But they're the last residents on the street that hasn't been purchased and vacated off the property, and now they have been vacated as well. I pray that some of you will consider joining us. I pray that all of you will consider joining us in the offering. I pray this congregation will always remain faithful and not swallow some folksy fable that says, you know, preacher, Jesus said charity begins at home. Maybe we ought to take care of our own selves first. I never said that. Amazon delivered 2 billion packages last year, And I'm told that Amazon is on track to deliver even more packages this year. I know they delivered more than my fair share to my house last year. But when I heard that on the news, 2 billion packages, one company delivered 2 billion packages last year. I wondered how many packages the Lord's church delivered last year. I wondered how many packages this church delivered last year. I wonder how many times our church shared the good news of Jesus with the world last year, both here at home and away from here, abroad. I wonder how many times I shared the good news. I wonder how many times you shared, how many times we shared the good news last year. However many times we shared, let's double it. Let's go further down the road for the Lord Jesus than we have ever gone before. And let's support those who will. Let's show the world. If charity begins at home, it certainly doesn't stop there. Not here, not at Licking Valley, because, folks, we share. Amen. Amen? Especially when it comes to sharing Jesus. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, help us have charitable hearts this morning. You so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. Help us contribute what we can to share that good news of how this world can be saved through His Son. And help us consider it an honor and a privilege to join in with you in letting the whole world know about your Son, Jesus. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people said.